ready to go. Ready to go.
And welcome back. It's hour number two, Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And everything has been squared away with the video stream as well. If you go to facebook.com or x.com in the Bow Falls Radio page, you can get a video stream of us as well. Add your comments and join us here on the program. As I said, right before the break, it is time for the final day of our Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. And again, all you have to do is send the keyword through the Civic Media app and the Bow Falls Radio page and text it to us, and you'll be part of the drawing to win an hourly prize, daily prizes, and the grand prizes as well. And our keyword here for this hour is freedom. F-R-E-E-D-O-M. Freedom. So again, just send that one word to us on the Civic Media app and the Bow Falls Radio page. Text FREEDOM to us sometime before 10 a.m. and you'll be part of the drawing for your chance to win. And to start off hour number two, very happy to welcome back into our studio from, I guess you would say, still from Wozenee High School, but a recent graduate and a multi-sport athlete, Tristan Wickland. And Tristan, thanks for coming on over.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about the whole year, because obviously it was a very busy year, it was a very successful year, but let's talk about this week, because instead of being on the court or on the ice or on the field, you were cheering on Wozenee at the state baseball tournament the last 2 days. Are you able to, you know, just to let it all go and not have the control that you do on the field of play, and just have a good time and cheer on your friends and classmates?
Yeah, for sure. It was fun to be able to sit back and watch the game. Obviously, it didn't go the way that they planned, but I think that even to get there was a huge accomplishment.
It's a big accomplishment for the school as well. Just last week, you and your teammates on the softball side making it to a state championship game down in Madison. And then, of course, yesterday, the baseball team making it to the state championship game in Appleton. And the success, of course, that you had in the winter, and your team even, you know, in the fall. Football team had a good year. Your volleyball team had a good year with yourself being player of the year. When the teams are doing well, does that add to the spirit and just the good feeling around the school during the course of the school year?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like when a team is performing well, no matter at what different sports that they come across, Wozenee has never failed to bring a community to support at every sporting event, no matter when the time is.
Had you on back after volleyball and right at the start of hockey this year on our high school sports show. And at that point, you were going into the season, and I remember talking to you going into hockey season about the disappointment of last year, and that, you know, it was almost a little chip on the shoulder, it felt yep. like. And in the end, able to be one of the captains, be able to go through a gauntlet in the postseason, and in the end, ultimately win a state championship. Between that time we talked, I think it must have been either late November, early December, in that time frame, and then winning that tournament. What was the journey like for you as number one, a captain, as number two, somebody that is expected to perform in terms of, you know, scoring and dishing out? What was the journey like, and ultimately I imagine the satisfaction of a job well done?
Yeah, from the beginning of the year, when we sat down with the team, we knew that our end goal was obviously to win a state championship, and I think that there were some ups and downs along the way, which happens with every sports team, but I think that it was a special group because we knew how to make the best out of any outcome or any scenario that we had, and we really built off of anything that brought us down, and it truly made us overcome and win Green Bay in the state championship.
And also the fact that personally, when you got to the state tournament, whether it was the semifinal or the championship round, to be able to yourself lift your game, to be able to score big goals, to be able to do those things that may have ultimately been, you know, a big factor in the ultimate result. Personally, what kind of satisfaction is that as well?
Yeah, it's amazing. Right away, I felt like I had a lot of pressure going into that. It was my last two games in a Storm jersey, and it was something that I knew that I wasn't going to take for granted, and I knew that with the team that we had the potential, we had everything going for us, and it would have been a shame, honestly, to throw it away in the state championship game.
Taking a big picture approach to your high school sports, how important was it being a multi-sport athlete, being somebody that was part of volleyball, being part of hockey, and then, of course, finishing off with softball as well? How did that improve your athletics in terms of each of those sports, and maybe even more importantly, in terms of as a person, getting you on this, you know, launching pad to the rest of your life, to college, and then, of course, the rest of your life? What are the advantages of being a multi-sport athlete? Because, obviously, it has to be exceptionally busy.
Yeah, you grow a lot of bonds with the girls. Being able to see how different forms of, like, teams bond and, like, cope with stuff, it's really, like, changed the way that I think about sports and how to be, like, a true leader. Finding that way to pick the team up when they're down, I think, has honestly been my biggest takeaway from high school sports, especially in, like, the softball semifinal. Like, we were down, 7-3, and we came back, and I feel like just having that little bit of motivation on every team can honestly make it or break a team.
Again, we're talking to Tristan Wicklund, multi-sport athlete at Mosinee High School here on Bull Falls Radio. Speaking of that state semifinal in softball, I was watching the game, and one thing that kind of jumped out is basically one of your final acts as a high school athlete, because it was at the very end, your last at bat, and I think it was 7-2 at the time, and you laid down a bunt for a base hit, and I thought that was something that maybe not everybody would do, that in the situation you want to, you know, you're on the big stage, you want to swing the bat and maybe try to drive one. But in that situation, and if you look back, you take a step back, your team needed base runners. Your team needed to get, if you had hit a home run, it would have been great, but it would not have got you back to where you wanted to be, the ultimate point of either tying or taking the lead. I thought that maybe was a culmination of a lot of learning over the years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, ever since I was little, I was always either first or second in the batting order so I could bunt. It was something that I thought that I excelled at rather than other spots in the softball world. But I think that I give props to our head coach this year, Cody Britsky. He really took on the challenge of coming from baseball to softball, which is a totally new game. Even though they may seem like the same sports, they're honestly way different. And I think that he accepted the small ball game a lot better than I think that we've had in the past. And I think that it showed how far it got us with being able to trust all of our players and know that they can lay down the bunt when it needs to be.
Another aspect of everything you did is, you know, seeing different situations, having to overcome different things. And you were at the high of winning a state championship, a second state championship with the Central Wisconsin Storm. And then you're heading off to start your softball season, and obviously a lot of fun. Where did you go? Was it Florida?
Yes,
it was Florida. You went to Florida to start off the season. These teams every other year normally go off to a warm weather site to get away from Wisconsin. And you suffered a rather significant injury. What happened at the very start of your softball season?
Yeah, we got down in Florida. I played one game, and then we had a doubleheader the next day, played that game. And then the second game, I remember like it was yesterday, it was full count, bases loaded, and you go on the pitch when it's two outs.
Mm-hmm.
So I started running. I went to go break down before I got to second base because our batter got out. And my leg just buckled and went the other way. And then next thing I know, I got an MRI, and they said I partially tore my PCL and then just strained basically all my ligaments around my knee. And honestly, after that, I thought my season was over. Mm-hmm. I thought that there was no coming back. But with having, like, my team, for example, you talk about, like, the courage and, like, the different teams and how they respond to different situations. And I think that the softball team really was there for me. Like, they lifted me up when I needed it, especially Taylan Jershley. Like, she had my back. Props to her. She was there through it all. So.
And then you did come back, but you're not 100%.
No.
And as somebody that has high expectations for yourself in terms of the success you've had in all your sports, how difficult was that, knowing there were limitations?
Yeah, it was hard. Right after it happened, I texted my trainer, and I was just like, I want to be back before softball season is over. And he said, okay, like, we can make that work. And it was definitely a lot of work. Twice a week going in there, getting my knee worked on. Really, the hardest thing for me was trying to be able to trust it and know that it's gonna, like, everything happens for a reason. It's gonna just do what it needs to do. And it was honestly really hard for me to trust that. And I think once I put that past me, it was just all forced from there.
And now you look forward and you're heading to St. Norbert's, yes. And you'll be playing hockey coming up in the winter. I guess number one, this injury, again, it sounds like, you know, very significant injury. Is that going to affect you by the time hockey season rolls around?
Hopefully not. I think with training over the summer, just to build everything up around it and just to really prepare myself that once you get there in the fall, like, it's go time. Like, there's no resting, mm-hmm. no nothing. And I think that with working now, I'll see a payoff in the summer.
And now it's starting over. You had worked your way where you were a senior and a captain and a true leader on your Storm team that was one of the best in the state of Wisconsin, ultimately the best in the state of Wisconsin. Now as a freshman, what is the reset like?
Yeah, it's definitely different. There's a different role coming in as a freshman. You look up to the upperclassmen like they're your big sisters, and I think that in the Storm program, that was very much shown that the underclassmen really respected the senior class. So I think that I'm just going to pay all my respects to the seniors and really look up to them.
And when you look back at all the accomplishments and the opportunity, I think that's one of the things that I think is important to acknowledge as well, is when you have these opportunities. You were able to play for multiple years, yes. in all these sports. When you look back at all of it, maybe what was the couple of the highlights for you when you, as it's very soon, I'm sure as you get older, you'll have even some more, but right now, what really stands out?
For sure, that state championship for hockey. That's something I don't think I can ever live down. I know we won it my sophomore year, but being able to come away with it my senior year is something special. Being able to leave my legacy on the Central Wisconsin Storm and just know that I will always be a part of it is something that I will never take for granted. And volleyball season was also a high, being All-Conference Player of the Year and just being nominated for All-State Honorable Mention. It was something that it really showed that putting in the work over the summer really, like, helps. Coming into my fall season for volleyball, I wasn't going to set. Like, it wasn't – it was out of the picture. I was just going to hit right side and – putting in the work over the summer after I found out that I was going to be a setter was something that, and to see a payoff, it really was something that I will never forget.
Very cool. Tristan Wicklund, it's been a pleasure seeing you over the years, watching you with so much success. Best of luck as you become a Green Knight.
Thank you.
Tristan Wicklund from Mosinee. We're going to take a quick timeout and then come back, and we'll be joined by Paul Micklig coming up as we continue on this Friday. The time is almost 9:19. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also catch us on our Facebook.com and X.com Bow Falls Radio pages with a video stream as well. So thanks again to Tristan for coming on in again. One final opportunity to talk to one of the outstanding student athletes we've had the pleasure and opportunity to cover on a regular basis over the years here on Bow Falls Radio. Another guy that been covering on a regular basis for a very long time. As I don't age ourselves. I was a young pup, and you were just, man, you were just...
What did that make me? Not even a pup or what?
Basically, I mean, you were just basically out of pads. When you were, remember, because it's, I always like telling the story that my first year at XCO was your first year head coach at Newman. So it's like kind of started at the same time, and we're still here. I don't know if that means we're just stuck in the quicksand or what here, yeah. But we're still here. We're still going strong. And Paul Micklig joins us again. But also, real quickly here, because it was great. I really, and you know it, I enjoy talking to the kids.
Yep.
Coming on and really having an opportunity to kind of, you know, have a longer than a sound bite.
Yep.
And to be able to, I saw I was talking to another person who was a guest recently, who's a relative of a former Newman Catholic athlete, and who played basketball as part of the state tournament teams back, you know, probably about 15 years ago now. And he said, yeah, she's married with four kids. And, I mean, when you see the same way, because the kids that you coached when you first started are now parents, and in fact,
I'm going to a wedding this weekend. ends
But it's amazing to see the progression for these student athletes, and that's one of the great things about it, where number one, you see the progression from freshman to senior, and then you get to see the progression from graduate to adult. It really is something, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the fun part about it is the after high school and see them and what they become and succeed. And again, success is a lot of different things, but that they're succeeding, they're happy, and that is, if they're happy, that means they're succeeding. And to see that that growth and that maturity go through that time frame is actually fun, and you know, I look forward to seeing people afterwards, and I know mm-hmm. you do too. It's actually even better. It's like a fine wine, right? It gets better yeah. with time, and so I'm looking forward to a wedding tomorrow and seeing a group from the 2015 that from the that drive in Greenwood.
Greenwood, 98 yards.
You know, and that was after Favre did it. No, Rodgers did it against Miami. Remember that the week before?
Yeah.
But so that's the stuff that you like to see.
And also something else, you know, about the high school aspect. I just also, and I know that, you know, at a smaller school like Newman, that you need the multi-sport kids. And somebody like Tristan, who is going to play college hockey, could have easily just focused on that. But instead, she said, "No way, I'm not going to play volleyball, and there's no way, even getting injured, I wasn't going to play. I was trying to get back and play softball." There's something special about those multi-sport kids, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean,
because they're so busy. I mean, especially now. I mean, you as a coach, you see it. You have to almost work with other coaches because you guys always off season. They have these, you know, special events that are going on. It puts a lot on the plate for a lot of these student athletes who really have to show that grit and determination to be part of all these sports.
And it's gotten, I don't want to say it's gotten worse, because that'd be a negative word, but I think it has.
It's gotten where you have to have some really good time management skills, right?
I mean, they got to be kids too. You got to enjoy life, and yeah. And she sounded real good this morning on the radio, and head on her shoulders, and you know, and there's many of them out there like that. Mm-hmm. But you can tell that. Yeah, I mean, you're asking for basketball a couple nights. I'm just saying, if you're playing basketball, hockey's probably the same thing. Then you're asking if you play. But you know what? The one thing I will say is, those 2 to 3 sport athletes, if you can find those special ones, and they win all the time. Okay, so they're winning all the time. They're winning in those sports. So if you can get one, you're one person to do one, and they can carry it over to two, and they can carry it over to three. I guarantee they're doing it in life too. Yes. They're being successful because they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So you want those, because I want to say those are your top kind of people of they're going to be winners all the time. It doesn't matter where they go or what they do or what sport it is. And those are the special ones. I think we need more of those, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. And again, it's wonderful that these opportunities are there. And I said to, you know, Tristan, it's like, you know, it's wonderful. That's the thing about where you can find the opportunities at any school you go to if you really look hard enough and you're able to put your arms around the challenges and the opportunities. And you see it so well. Again, at a very small school, I mean, you can say, oh, it's tough to get the kids out. But also it says, hey, you kids, you have the chance to really do something, to have these experiences, to be parts of teams, to learn from coaches that maybe at a bigger school you don't have. But at the bigger school, you get other kinds of opportunities. Really, when you look at high school athletics, I just see opportunities at any of the levels. I imagine that you see that. Well, could you talk to a lot of folks at all levels?
Yeah, I mean, most of those, I mean, you look at the Mosley baseball team yesterday. you know, they had a lot of kids that, I mean, let's be honest, one of the best players on that team, if not the best player. I think he was all conference and not all conference, player of the year in three different sports.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, those are the type of kids that you, and they had other kids that played more than one sport. Most of them were two, or some were three, and those are what you need.
It's not an accident when you see winning teams in the fall, winter, and spring. Usually a lot of the same kind of kids, right?
Yes. That's usually the norm.
Right, it is.
I mean, usually. I mean,
and like you say, these kids know success, and they're able to take it from one sport to another.
Correct. And that, usually that's a different level, to be on there.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can get away with it at the middle, or at the smaller schools, or even mids, where you can be, you might not be the guy for all three sports. But I'm going to tell you this right now, if you're the guy for one or two, my guess is for that third one, you're still going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's what teams need. They need those kinds of guys that know how to win and know how to be successful. And they obviously did this year. All three of their sports, four of their sports, mostly the hockey was good. I mean, they were successful, and the girls are doing the same thing on that. And you kind of can keep that all going together. So it's fun to watch when you got them.
We're going to come back with Paul Meckler. We'll talk a little bit about talk about success. Brewers are continuing to be successful. They're doing it in an interesting way. They just seem to win two out of three. You know, it's like...
And ugly, too.
Yeah, but they find ways. Series gets done, hey, a couple more wins.
A couple more wins.
You know, they're methodically, you know, getting that gap between 500 larger and larger. And it's, you know, not letting losing streaks go. So we'll talk about that. I want to also talk about... how much money are the Packers going to have to pay Jordan Love after you see what Jacksonville just did?
Yep.
It's interesting as minicamp was going on in Green Bay. So we'll talk some Wisconsin sports with Paul Mickley coming up. 9:29. Information update is coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, quick note, our Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. And hey, put your phone away, McLeagley. Right?
I'm not this time. Right.
But our Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, the final day. And right now, make sure you send in the keyword freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, freedom, to the Bull Falls Radio page on the Civic Media app. Again, real simple, just a free app, download it, and then when you have it, open it up, you'll see all the Civic Media stations. Hit the fifth one down, Bull Falls Radio, and you'll see a text button. Hit that, one word, freedom, and you'll be part of the drawing to win an hourly prize, a Wisconsin Dells summer prize pack, a daily prize of a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats, and a grand prize, your choice of a unique summer staycation getaway, complete with gas to get you there and back. We're going to talk to Paul, but today it's busy. And you know, here, there are times where I wander the halls here at Bull Falls Radio where there's nobody else. I'm talking to myself. So it's really great today that we've had all these guests come in, and we've got a couple of special guests as well. And Aiden, first of all, welcome to Bull Falls Radio.
Thank you.
You came in here because you have an interest in radio, right?
Yes, I do.
And I know you were in the booth with Ian for the last couple of segments. Has Ian been showing you the ropes back there? And
yes,
he does.
He's a pro.
Hey, Ian, there you go. That's
I like the sound of that.
Did you tell him to say that on the air, Ian?
No, I did not.
But Aiden, why do you want to get involved in radio?
I don't know. I do choir and stuff, and I think that this stuff is really neat.
Very good. So you got to sit with Ian the first half of this hour. You're going to hang out here in the main studio with me here in the second half of the hour, then I'm going to show you around after the show ends. But I just wanted to say welcome, and glad you could be by here today.
Thank you.
And if Micklick says anything wrong, feel free to jump in and just let him know that he's off base.
This is the Brewer stuff now. So now I could be wrong, because what I want to start off with is that about a month and a half ago, Pittsburgh was in first place. And I told Chad they will be in last place by the time
And
what place are they in right now?
A couple of days ago, they were in second place. But now you're right.
It's what they've done for me lately.
I know they're in last place.
They're in last place.
But it's also only, what, June the 14th. We'll see where it all ends up. It's a long season.
Yeah, the Brewers might end up in last place before it's all said and done.
But they're consistent. I mean, as I said, they just seem to find ways to win a couple of games every series. I mean, and they're, what, 6.5 games ahead? And it's kind of methodically giving themselves a little cushion. That's the thing that's kind of you like to see, because we've talked about this. There's going to be bumps in the road, especially with, I think, the number of injuries. But, boy, they just are very consistent right now. And I think that's going to go a long way towards making sure that they're a factor when we get towards the end of the season.
But does this even out? Baseball evens out.
Yes, I mean, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Which is the scary thing. Because think about this. They won 2 out of 3 against Toronto. And they started the series 0-23 with runners in scoring position. And somehow they end up winning 2 out of 3 games.
I know. Is that crazy?
I mean, that's insane. Think about that. I mean, they won the first game without having, because it was homers, the first one on Monday, and then until that inning where they got some runs, and actually the first run they got was like on an error, it was a pass, the catcher threw it or whatever the case might be, and then they got a hit, Contreras got a hit after that, but with a guy in scoring position. But 0-23 going into the seventh inning, I think it was, of the third game, and they win 2 out of 3. How long can that go?
What's the old saying? Numbers don't lie. When you say 0-20, numbers did lie in that case. But you're right. And that's the thing about baseball. Again, we've talked about this. I go back to when I was younger, when I was in high school, a long time ago. And I remember the 87 season for the Brewers. And that was the year they started 13-0. And then in the month of May, the next month, they lost 12 games in a row.
Yep.
How does that happen? Because you're around sports, and you don't see that kind of thing where usually, say, in the NFL, if the Packers start off 7-1, they're not going to then lose 7 games in a row. I mean, it doesn't seem to happen in other sports the way it does in baseball, does it?
Or am I? Well, relax. You remember relax?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went on a... I mean,
that's true. I guess it does. But it seems to happen more in baseball where a team can be really good and then turn almost on its head in a way that we don't see as much, I think, in other sports.
Well, just because it's so long and the percentages are going to average out sooner or later. The thing is, they're beating the percentages right now.
Yes, they are.
So what happens if they actually go the opposite way?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the
good thing is, though, this is such a mediocre division. I mean, again, that's...
Is it? I mean, I still think the Cubs are still going to... They have talent. I don't know how many guys they're going to get back, but they have talent. I mean, you can't... At the end of the day, wins.
Apparently, this manager is no good. That's what I'm coming down to thinking.
Well, he's your guy.
My guy.
I thought you were going to,
my guy.
Cry when he left. I thought it was all over that he,
making things up again.
I said that in baseball, the Mangi, I don't know how important it is.
Yes, you have said that. You've said that. Use your money elsewhere, right?
Well, I mean, when you're talking about $7 million.
And the thing about it is nobody else was hiring Pat Murphy. Nobody else. I mean, this was a case where you had counsel. Oh, everybody wanted to hire him. Nobody else was hiring Pat Murphy but the Milwaukee Brewers. And in the end, he's proven to be a pretty darn good manager. So again, maybe it's proven you're right.
Well, I mean, I think like the clubhouse, I think there's other things. But I guarantee coach is sitting in there, and I guarantee he's thinking, if I got $7 million, I'd take any job. I mean, I would do the same thing. I mean, I know you don't like the money thing, but think about this. $7 million to sit there and put the lineup together. I could do that. No. Anybody can do that.
Well, can you go a week without bringing up the money?
Well, I mean, because really? I just don't, besides the clubhouse and the demeanor and stuff like that, what can they control? What can they control?
Well,
I would say the pitching coach has more control. Chris Hook should be the guy that's doing wonders with that.
By the way, have you figured out who the batting coach is yet?
No.
I did look it up last week. What was his name? Oh, because after we talked, I said, I got to find out who this guy is.
I forgot him when they went 0-23 with runners in scoring position.
But the thing about it is, it's like when the hitter's not going well, oh, we got to change the hitting coach. And ultimately, you can't make lemonade out of lemons most of the time.
Correct.
I mean, you're not going to turn a 210 hitter into a 320 hitter based on your coaching. I mean, you either are able to do it or you're not able to do it. Correct.
Correct. And I, I would say the AAA managers and those guys are a little like Rodriguez that came up and started the other game, his first game.
Right.
I mean, if you look at his, he's 4-5 with a 5.17 ERA in AAA, and you're thinking to yourself, well, this is a guy that's the number one eighth prospect. But then if you dig into it, in May, he was the pitcher of the year in AAA. Right. So, I mean, that guy, obviously, whoever was down there, got him situated back to where he was before. So what does Murphy have to do with, besides saying, here's the ball, you're starting tonight?
Wow.
No, I'm just asking. I'm asking. Seriously, what's the question?
I do think that there's a lot more to it than, I mean, I think that like when he pulled off the double steal, I don't think a lot of guys would have done that. I think there are times where, you know, where a guy that's, I think, comfortable in his own skin. I like the fact that he appears that way, that he's not afraid of making a mistake. I think there's some guys nowadays, especially in Major League Baseball, when you look up to the skybox where your GM is having a drink after he'd sent you the lineup before.
Oh, so you're saying he's not even doing the lineup, though?
I think that
the GM's doing the lineup.
I think in some cases that's the case. I don't think in all cases, but because we've actually...
Think in this case it is.
They've had some stories where the media has been in the office with Murphy, and he's actually had a little bit of a back and forth with Arnold about exactly that he's saying, hey, no, this is not the way I want to go today. I don't know whether he won the argument or not, but he's somebody that, and again, I think we've talked about this in the past, this is his chance. He's going to do it
his way
to the best of his ability. Exactly.
And I will say, I think the clubhouse is totally different than it was with Council, and I'm not saying Council was bad. I'm just saying it's a different clubhouse.
A little looser.
And I think that, and a little different mentality, like, hey, we're going to go show him and things like that, and he's going to have fun with it, but he's going to, when it's time to play, he's going to be a bulldog kind of type.
He's a baseball guy, and that's how you like to see that. He's not one of these, for lack of a better term, eggheads from the Ivy League putting everything into a computer and saying this is the way we should do it. This is a old-fashioned baseball guy.
And they've, because to be honest with you, they're saying that they bunted, I think it was like 21 at some point this year, it was like 21 times.
Which is
wonderful.
And
they only did it like 27 all of last year.
Well, I remember a few years ago when we went to that game, they had the winning run on second base with nobody out, and it's like...
Bunt the guy over.
And they, who was it? Who was the guy that was batting? Because remember, he was hitting like 200.
Yes. Wasn't the catcher?
Yes, the catcher. But the whole idea is we're up there saying, bunt! Get the guy over! Win the game! Strike one, strike two, strike three. And I'd love to see a little bit more old-fashioned.
But I will say is, Yelich said that he's not telling them to bunt. Do you know what I'm saying? They're given the free rein. Those guys are deciding to do that. So how much is it? Do you give Murphy credit for letting them have that rein?
Yes, you do.
Okay, I'm just asking. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, we got a few minutes to go. Let's because now the Packers had their mini camp this week, and we just heard that Trevor Lawrence got this really pretty nice deal, pretty nice contract. It seems like every day that goes by, Jordan Love's price is going up. What's your thought on this? Because yes. The last half of the year, he was fantastic. Are you comfortable with giving Jordan Love the amount of money he's going to take, $50, $55 million a year for like 5 or 6 years?
You know, when you get to that high, I can't even like comprehend.
$141 million up front, I think, for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, just for signing. Here's the check for $141 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
I can't even comprehend. I mean, what? I don't even know what you do with that, quite frankly.
But the thing about it as well, though, it seems as though in the NFL, they're out. I mean, yeah, then ultimately you have a year or two where, yeah, we got this debt money. In the end, there's outs as well in the NFL. It's not like some of the other sports where it's guaranteed.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is that, is Love smart enough to know that the more money he takes, the less money for other people?
That's true.
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go, because, again, at sooner or later during that contract, they're going to have to play those receivers. They're going to have to pay those. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to come up.
And I can't imagine that he's going to go into next season, well, I'm going to play it out to see if I get more. Boy, you're risking a lot. I would think that there's going to be a point where it says, okay, give me the pen. We're going to make this happen.
Did you hear his interview when they were talking about it this week?
I heard part of it, yes.
I mean, it wasn't long.
No.
Because he didn't want to talk about it.
Mike Clemens sent us a cut, and I didn't know if that was the whole part of it, but yeah.
No, it was like 20 seconds. I mean, it was a one-word answer to all the questions about it. I mean, so I don't think he's like, they asked him how it's going. He's like, good. You think it'll be done by the, yeah. And, you know what I mean? That's how he answered it.
And I got to ask you this, because I really don't really want to bring Rodgers up anymore, but it's interesting because the interesting aspect was not that he missed the Jets training camp, but that they actually said this was an unexcused absence. What does that tell you?
Yeah, but they have to do it that way, though.
Really?
From reading about it, they have to say it that way.
Well,
because
it sounds like he kind of hung out Salah to dry a little bit to me. I don't know.
No, I think, you know, just because I don't want to care about him anymore, so to speak.
No, but
I think it's kind of just digging at something. Now, does it kind of reek of situation where he said on that show, whatever show he's always on, that, you know, we got to get that stuff out of the building, yeah, and we got to get McAfee all this, and everything's got to be about football. And then he was talking about running for the vice president, and he, you know, instead of squashing it right away, and then he's gone at this. I guess that is where you would look at it, if you kind of like, so you can say it, but you can't believe it. I mean, I guess that's where I would look at it. Him missing this thing, I mean, the Packers excused like four of their guys,
but
five of their guys.
Excused them. This was unexcused. That's what I'm saying the difference is.
But because they didn't do it. He made the trip. The Packers told those five guys not to be there.
Right.
So there's a difference.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's a difference. They expected Aaron Rodgers to be there. That's what the difference is.
He expects all his players. That's what he said. Expect all
so,
his players to be there.
Again, he's saying, he's giving the brush off to the coach. As if you're the coach of the Jets, which I'm sure maybe you'll be in the hat, will be in the ring after this year after Salah gets fired. I don't think he'll be too thrilled about that.
No, I don't think so.
There you go. All right.
He's got his money, though.
Okay. On that happy note, we will say have a good weekend, and we'll catch you next
week. Have a good
weekend.
Hopefully you had fun today, and hopefully you have a good tour today on there. It should be fun for you guys.
I did have fun.
All right. We're going to come back, and we'll have Ian with the number of the day quiz coming up next here on WI. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is Friday, June the 14th of 2024. It is day number 166 of this year, so that means exactly 200 days remain in 2024. 200. So we're getting closer and closer to the midway point as we get into the summer months. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. In 1937, Pennsylvania became the first state of the United States to celebrate Flag Day officially as a state holiday. On this date in 1942, Anne Frank began to keep a diary, one of the most famous, if not the most famous diary in world history. On this date in 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed a bill into law that placed the words "Under God" to the United States Pledge of Allegiance. On this date in 1989, actress Zsa Zsa Gabor was arrested in Beverly Hills for slapping a motorcycle patrolman. On this date in 1996, Cal Ripken Jr. played in his 2,216th straight game with Baltimore, breaking an endurance record set by Japan's Sachio Kinugasa. The Orioles beat the Royals 6-1. On this date in 1997, a 1939 comic book that featured the debut of Batman was auctioned in New York for $68,500. On this date in 2015, Jurassic World became the first film to make $500 million worldwide in its opening weekend. On this date in 2019, rock legend Bruce Springsteen released his 19th studio album titled Western Stars. A few famous people are celebrating their birthdays. A man named Donald J. Trump is celebrating his birthday today. Donald J. Trump is 78 years old today. In fact, yesterday, when he paid a visit to the U.S. Capitol, Republicans sang him happy birthday early. Good for him.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, Will Patton of Remember the Titans and Falling Skies is 70 years old today. Boy George, leader of Culture Club, had some big hits in the 1980s. Boy George is 63 years old today. Former Baywatch and Nash Bridges star Yasmine Bleeth is 56 years old today. Kevin McHale, not the basketball player, but the actor from Glee and True Blood, 36 years old today. And Lucy Hale, actor from Pretty Little Liars, is 35 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged here today. It is the birthday of the U.S. Army, so happy birthday to the Army. Mm-hmm. It is Family History Day, as I said, Flag Day, International Bath Day. I don't think I've taken a bath in many years. I'm a shower guy. It is Marriage Day. I don't know why it's Marriage Day, but today it's Marriage Day.
Interesting.
It is Cucumber Day. It is Bourbon Day. I never had bourbon. Have you had bourbon?
No, I never had bourbon.
Yeah, so it's Bourbon Day. I bet you you've had strawberry shortcake, right?
Yes, I have.
It is Strawberry Shortcake Day. It is Pause for the Pledge Day. And it is World Blood Donor Day, and that's a good one.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Definitely always good to donate blood and save a life, or even more than one life. So those are a few of the special events being acknowledged here today on Friday, June the 14th of 2024.
Okay, I'm ready.
And you already got a win.
Yes.
But now it's a chance to actually have an over 500 week. And I
a
think
record,
that,
yeah.
That would be a tie your record, right? Three out of five? You haven't had a 4 out of 5 week yet, have you?
Not yet.
Okay,
no.
So 3 out of 5 would tie your record.
Okay.
All right. The number for the day is the number of albums that country singer Willie Nelson has had on the Billboard Country Albums chart. His latest album is titled The Border, and it's also made to the chart. So Willie Nelson had how many albums crack the Billboard Country Albums chart? Oof. Is the correct answer okay. 84. Is the correct answer 114? Is the correct answer 144? So is it 84, 114, or 144 albums that singer Willie Nelson has had on the Billboard Country Albums charts?
Okay. I'm trying to think about this one, but not overthinking.
That's a thin line, I tell you.
And 144. Okay.
That's a lot of albums, no matter which the correct answer
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. That's really good.
He has been a very prolific artist in the country music scene.
All right. I'm just going to take a shot here. I'm going to say B. I'm going to go with 114.
All right.
So my final answer.
B114 is Ian's answer. The number of albums country singer Willie Nelson has had on the Billboard Country Albums chart, 114.
Nice. I got it.
So what a week.
Nice.
You tied your record.
Yes,
3 out of 5. 60%.
Oh.
You blew away the 33% threshold. Man, my mind is mush right now.
It's okay. It's a Friday.
It is Friday, but congratulations.
Yes.
All right. So next week, going to have to break the record.
Yes, I got to get 4 out of 5.
Break the record next week.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Ian, very well done. Before we say our goodbyes, I need to remind you again, you got a couple of moments, a couple of minutes here to text in freedom in order to be part of the drawing for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Freedom, do it right now. Final moments to be able to text it to our Civic Media app and the Bull Falls Radio page. Well, Ian, have a wonderful weekend. Have a nice trip down to Wautoma, and we'll catch you on Monday.
You too, Chad. TGIF, everybody. Happy Friday. Have a good weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
Absolutely. And stick around. Jane Mantenere coming up from Amory on the road. Mantenere on air. Todd Alba will be part of the show as well. So both Mantenere and Alba from Amory today, the next 4 hours. Stick around. And again, have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.